answers. I'll call Pastor Tambor. Give me the answer to this. If I don't have the answer, I'll call a priest or a rabbi. I'll call somebody because I gotta have an answer, and I gotta have it right now. Some people can't let God be God and know something they don't know. We've got to know everything. We've got to have all the answers, and we've got to have them right now. Well, there are some answers that are not going to be given until eternity begins.
Right.
We're just going to have patience, and we're going to have to wait until that designated time. We want instant answers. And oh, how we want instant results. I mean, if we do anything good, we want our reward right now. We want instant results. We want it now. That's just the way we are programmed in this generation. What about healing? We pray for somebody, and we almost lose our salvation if they don't throw the crutches to the four winds and run the aisles 2 seconds after we said, Lord, heal him.
Right.
And we run out of gas. We run out of faith. We run out of patience. The Bible says you have need of patience. Yeah. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise.
Amen.
And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 30 seconds... came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now you know that I'm doing something on purpose here. Luke chapter 13, listen to this, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 30 seconds and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Now you know that she was not infirm for 30 seconds. And you know the man in, or the woman in Matthew 9 was not sick with an issue of blood for 30 seconds. But she was sick for 12 long years. And now we're reading about another woman who was bowed together for 18 years. Do you know how long 18 years is? We have a lot of people here tonight who don't know, because they're under 18 years of age. And they've lived 14, 15, 16, 17 years, and it's been a long life, hasn't it, young people? I mean, you've been around a long, long time. You've had a lot of experiences. This woman was bowed together. And I saw a woman like that in Rice Lake, and many of you saw her, all bent over. She could not straighten herself up. She was like this. She sat in church that way. She climbed up the church steps that way. She got in the car that way. She went to bed that way. She ate at her table that way. She lived that way. Whatever she did, wherever she went, she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I love to read those stories. Praise the Lord. Listen to John chapter 5. Here's another man. The first woman, 12 years. The second woman, 18 years. Now here's a story about Jerusalem and the sheep market and the pool there called Bethesda, having 5 porches, verse 3, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now that's a long time. That's a long time. You see, I've been afflicted almost that long in my body, and I'm still looking. I'm still hoping. I'm still believing. I have not run out of patience. I have not run out of faith. I believe the Bible when it says he will come and heal you.
Amen.
And sometime in my future, I shall be completely whole.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes,
amen.
Praise God.
And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, I know my heavenly Father watches over me. I know that not a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father, Jesus said. And I know that he said, you are of more value than many sparrows. If he cares for the sparrows so much, how much more does he care for you? Have you ever driven down the highway and a sparrow swooped in front of your car? You couldn't avoid it. He couldn't avoid you. And one crash, and the sparrow, you looked out your rearview mirror, was falling over and lay there, feet up, dead. You've seen it. Do you know that every time you have seen that scene, or every time that you have seen a sparrow on the roadside, your heavenly Father is fully aware of that sparrow's death? That's what the Holy Bible says. And then Jesus went on and said, you are of more value than many sparrows. If he cares for the sparrows, how much more does he care for you? So I've been afflicted for 34 and a half, 35 years now. So what? He knows all about it, and he cares. Praise God. He knew that this man was lying there for 38 years. And sometimes I prayed and I said, oh God, I have called on you for 35 years now, nigh unto 35 years. And Lord, I remember that man in John chapter 5 who went to the pool at Bethesda and was sick for 38 years. Not that there's any magic in the number 38. No, we read about 12 years tonight. We read about 18 years tonight. Now we're reading about 38 years tonight. Never give up, saints of God. Never grow weary. Never quit. Grow weary in well-doing. What does that have to do with this? Because prayer is well-doing.
Amen.
Let me show you some things in the scriptures as we go on tonight. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, oh, compassion overwhelmed Jesus. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm doing my best and struggling my hardest to get into that water, while I'm coming, another beats me to it, steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Well, I'm just waiting for that day when he says, ears be healed. When he says, sugar diabetes be healed. When he says, cancer, you're cursed. You're dead. And my servant shall live. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There's one even worse than that, huh? And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Blind from his birth. I don't know how old this man was, but we read about a woman who waited for her healing 12 years, and another waited 18 years, and another 38 years, and now we read about one who was born blind. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. After all, man was made out of mud, so Jesus just made a little mud and put it in his eye. Made the man whole with what he was made out of in the first place. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Praise the Lord. Saints of God, are you sick? Have patience. Have faith and have patience. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We always read the 42 chapters of Job. Do we ever read James? Do we ever read what James said about Job? Listen, in James chapter 5, Verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, special attention, we count them happy which endure. Endure. You wouldn't say a man endured if he only had a problem for 30 seconds. But when a man's had a problem for 30 years and he doesn't grow weary, he's enduring. We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. How many of you have ever heard about Job?
Yes, amen.
Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Well, James writes and assumes that everybody he's writing to has heard of the patience of Job. For he says, you have heard of the patience of Job. And you have seen the end of the Lord. Or you have seen the end of the Lord's doings. When the Lord finishes his work, you've seen the end of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful. Now, when you read the life story of Job, you probably don't think that the Lord was very pitiful. And you don't probably think that he was showing tender mercy. But it doesn't just say pitiful here. It says the Lord is very pitiful, proven in the story of the sufferings of Job. It doesn't say he was merciful. It says he was of tender mercy. Very pitiful. Tender mercy. When you read the book of Job again, look for the Lord's very pitiful and the Lord's tender mercy. Take another look at the book of Job. And let's not complain. Let's worship. Let's do like Job did when he shaved his head and he rent his garments and he fell on in a pile of ashes with sackcloth on. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, saints of God, let's not be found complaining. Let's be found worshiping. Let's be found saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, whatever our circumstances in life are. My brother opened a conversation with me the other day and practically outlined his funeral. Told me who he wanted for pallbearers. Told me who he wanted to sing. Told me he wanted me to officiate. Told me who he wanted to say a few words. Told me what songs he wanted sung. That was hard to take, but I discussed it with him. I talked with him about it. I let him get it out. And then, then we talked about the miracle of healing. And we talked about the hope that we have in the Lord, whether we're healed or not. And my brother said, three weeks ago, I didn't feel like I do tonight. 3 weeks ago, I wasn't as sure about things as I am tonight. He said, I know I'm saved.
Praise the Lord.
I know I'm going to heaven.
Praise the Lord.
He said, isn't it wonderful? He said this and everyone in the room heard it. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to depend on ourselves for our salvation? We don't have to depend on our impeccable, flawless, sinless lives, but we depend on his sinless life for our salvation. Oh, it blessed my soul, because that is faith for salvation being expressed right there. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you what you're going to find at the end of all the Christians' sessions with cancer or other terminal illnesses. You're going to find, when the picture is presented and unfolded, sometimes a puzzle for us, we are going to find that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, I've got a million thoughts going through my head on what I just said. I hope you have a half million at least. We are going to find that the Lord, the way he arranged things, is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary. Let us not be weary. Let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well doing. Sometimes we think of well doing as baking somebody a cake or bandaging their wound, and that is well doing. But there are other things mentioned in the scripture that concern well doing. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Holy Scriptures, whereunto ye do well. Isn't that well doing? Ye do well that ye take heed to the Holy Scriptures. Oh, saints of God, we better be doing well reading our Bibles every day, memorizing or quoting scriptures every day to ourselves, living in the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God, loving the Word of God. In His law do I meditate day and night. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's doing well. Let us not be weary in attending to the word of God. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Praise the Lord. Well doing. Amen. Attendance to God's word. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. He's talking about doing good, submitting yourselves, living a Christian life unto governors. For so is the will of God, that with well doing, not just doing somebody a favor, but living a Christian life is well doing. Submitting yourself is well-doing. Being rebellious is not well-doing. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So we don't really miss it too far when we say that this world and their philosophies and theories and teachings and doctrines are ignorant,
right,
when they don't have Christ,
right,
when they're in darkness.
Amen.
The Bible calls them ignorant over and over.
Yeah.
One place it says willingly ignorant.
Yeah.
In our scripture reading between pre-service prayer and church tonight, we read that they are ignorant because their light is turned off, the switch is off. Here we read that ye may with well-doing put to silence the ignorance. Professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools. Okay, let's do well with our Christian living. Let's make it a point to do well. Let's make it a point not to mess up, not to make mistakes, not to hold grudges, not to be rebellious. 5:16, Matthew, let your light so shine. Don't let your light go out. Don't be weary in well-doing. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning in the camp until the break of day. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your well-doing. Isn't that what the Lord wants?
Amen.
He wants you to do well. He wants you to do good works so the world can see those good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Somebody said when the Lord called us to Christianity, He called us to a life impossible to live in the flesh without the help of the Spirit of God. So, that's why they will glorify your Father, not you. Because you don't have the power in your flesh to do that well. But He gives us power through His Spirit to do that well. Let's do it. Don't let your light go out. Keep oil in your lamp. That's what He's saying here. Praise the Lord. Some causes of weariness. Let us not be weary in well-doing. some causes of weariness, monotony. You know, you get a factory job and you do the same work all day long. You just take this and put it here all day long, factory work. You know, sometimes it's very monotonous. Some people will just quit that job and go get another job that's a little more exciting. Well, sometimes Christianity, go to church Sunday morning, go to church Sunday night, go to church Wednesday night, go to church Friday night, read my Bible every morning, read my Bible every night, do good and all, routine Christian living. Sometimes Christians think the Christian life is monotonous. Well, they ought to join this church. We try to keep people from suffering from monotony. Amen. But that's one cause of weariness. People just can't take the pace. Oh, go to church again. Drag themselves in, sit down, fold their arms and say, stir me up, preacher, if you can. You know? That's not the way it ought to be. We ought to come skipping into church, dancing, praises on our lips, songs in our hearts, sit in our pews and start going like the Koreans and the Japanese do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, they're not visiting before service. They're sitting there in their chairs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody asked Paul Yonggi Cho, what's that noise I hear? It sounds like a giant fan blowing somewhere. He says, oh, that's the saints in the sanctuary. But church doesn't start for an hour. That's the saints in the sanctuary. The saints in the sanctuary, an hour before service? Yes. What are they doing? They're just sitting there worshiping God. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And they don't grow weary.
Amen.
They don't come dragging in just in time, skidding into the chair and sitting down and puffing till their heart slows and then saying, here I am. Stir me if you can. No. Let's not grow weary, saints. Amen. Let's not let it become monotonous. Another reason that some people grow weary is because of seeming fruitlessness. I've been living this Christian life for a whole year now, and my relatives aren't saved. I've been praying for my dad, my mom, my brothers and sisters, my cousins, aunts and uncles, and nobody's gotten saved. And I've been doing it for a whole year. I think I'll quit. There's no fruit to this. I'm wasting my time. How long am I going to have to pray before I get results? And people grow weary. But our text tonight says you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Our text tonight says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What does the Bible tell us? It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, never becoming weary, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, and when you don't feel something, when you don't see something, you better know something. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered unto the saints, and do minister. Praise the Lord. Another cause of idleness in some Christians. Another cause of weariness in some Christians is the idleness of others. They become weary because I'm the only one that paints anything around here. I'm the only one that does any work around here. Nobody else is vacuuming these floors. It's just me, me, me. I'm the only one that sweeps the sidewalks. I'm the only one that testifies in church. I'm the only one that's worshiping. I guess if she doesn't, why should I? You know, that's a sign of weariness. And the Bible says, let us not grow weary. We need somebody in this church that will come on Friday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night and sit in their pew, and whatever happens around them, in front of them, beside them, behind them, whatever they hear or don't hear, they're going to lift their hands and they're going to worship God and they're going to say thank you, Jesus, and they're going to love him and they're going to give him the glory and they're going to adore him because they're not growing weary.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us therefore not grow weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season. It isn't time yet. You know how you used to wait for Christmas? Oh, we would look unto Christmas, let me tell you. And in those days, you could probably get the old catalog out, see awards, I guess it was in those days, and you'd go through the catalog, and Dad would say, you can have one thing. You can have one thing in there. You remember that? One thing. Pick your present for Christmas. One thing. You could either get a little tractor or a little automobile when you're a little boy, you know, and one thing. You can get that one thing under so much money, and you had to pick that thing out, and then you'd find it on Christmas morning. And oh, how you waited for Christmas. You look for it. In due time, Christmas is coming. It doesn't come every day. Christmas comes once a year. And eternity is only going to start once. And when that day comes, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So don't look around at the idleness of others and become weary. Amen? Don't look at the idleness of others and become weary. I'm the only one doing anything. Remember, the Bible says we must all individually on our own appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we have done in our body. I'm not going to answer for that idle brother of mine. I'm going to answer for my idle self. I'm not going to answer for you. You're not going to answer for me. You will answer for you, and I'll answer for me. Therefore, don't grow weary because somebody else is idle. Don't quit worshiping because somebody else doesn't worship. Don't quit going to this altar because you're the only one here. Don't quit bringing people to Christ because you're the only one out there witnessing, because you're the only soul winner. Just keep on doing it. Keep plodding on. Praise God. Keep winning souls. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. Keep serving God. Don't grow weary. That's what our text says tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some people grow weary because well-doing sometimes brings suffering. And this has caused some people to grow weary. They haven't counted the cost. No, they expected being a Christian to be easy on the flesh, and that everyone would just love them because they were not transformed and they're doing good. Sometimes it turns out just the opposite. Amen. They loved you when you sinned with them, and when you quit sinning, they don't love you anymore, and you suffer for it. Some people are that disillusioned. 1 Peter 2:20 says, "But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Just remember, when you're doing well like that, that's acceptable with God. And isn't it wonderful to be accepted with God, by God? Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 3:17, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Praise the Lord. We should not grow weary. What if soldiers grew weary on the battlefield? What if they were about to win a victory for their nation and they grew weary? What about the athlete who trains until he almost drops, and then he steps into the ring or on the ball field and he plays the competitive sport that he has engaged in? What if he grew weary? Saints, we cannot grow weary. The ambitious man doesn't grow weary. He just keeps counting his money and adding it up and adding to it. And how much more should we Christians persist in our heavenly labors despite our tiredness? And that word weary now, when it says let us not grow weary, is not referring to physical weariness. It's talking about spiritual weariness. It can't be talking about physical weariness, because then Jesus would be guilty of breaking the scripture, and he never broke the scripture. He fulfilled the scripture because he was weary in his journey and sat on Jacob's well at high noon. Read about it in John chapter 4. Praise the Lord. And Jesus is our example. It says, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be weary and faint in your minds. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. I was reading at the beginning here about all these secular people and their quotes and where we stand in time and how they have prognosticated things and forecast things and predicted things, and they haven't come to pass. Sometimes Christians grow weary because the Bible itself has predicted things, prophesied things, and they haven't come to pass. And so they grow weary. Well, I heard that 40 years ago. Or I've been hearing that for 40 years. You know, you better know that it's, if you're any mathematician at all, it's 40 years closer than it was if you have any faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a story about an engineer, a man, who was building a railroad that he wanted built between two cities way back in those days. He started, and he built the railroad so far, but he never did get to the other city. He grew weary, and he quit building. What happened to all that track that was laid before that? Nobody could use the railroad. Nobody ever traveled it. Probably sitting there today as a reminder that somebody grew weary. The railroad track between two cities planned was never completed. Well, that's the way it is with the Christian. He says here, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's conditional. If we quit, if we only begin this Christian race and don't finish it, what good will it do? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, the Bible says. That's Revelation 2:10, Jesus speaking to the church at Smyrna. Faithful unto death. It's not the one who begins, it's the one who begins and ends. And I'm so glad that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, that he finished what he began. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the man who never finished the railroad wasted all his effort, wasted all his money. Jesus said, occupy until I come. And of course, they that wait upon the Lord find the cure for weariness, shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Jesus said, come unto me and I will give you rest. You know, I'll take away your tiredness, your spiritual weariness. I will give you rest. Come to the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He can renew you. Praise the Lord. Our text, Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God. I hope everybody knows what the will of God is. The will of God is the Word of God. So that you won't have to unnecessarily come to me tonight. Here is the will of God for your life, right here.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That can be proven over and over in the Scripture. This is the will of God. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Amen.
You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God. This book tells you not to sin. This book tells you how to live. That's the will of God. Don't sin. It's not the will of God that you sin.
Amen.
Live holy. It's the will of God that you live holy. Live right. Watch your tongue.
Amen.
Repent when you've done wrong. That's the will of God.
Yes.
This is the will of God for the life of everyone here tonight. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, Paul said. And I prayed 3 times and asked the Lord to take it away. And he said, no, no, and no. Not yet, Paul, not yet. In due season, yes, I'll take it away. In due season, when you've been glorified and you live in your new body, it'll be gone. Don't worry about that, Paul. But he prayed for that thing to be taken away from him 3 times, and Jesus finally said, my grace, it's right under there,
my grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
No. Maybe the Lord is giving some of us grace to endure to the end, and then in due season we shall reap.
Amen.
If we faint not.
Right.
Hang on, saints. Don't quit. Don't even think of quitting.
Amen.
Don't even let it enter your mind.
Amen.
Resist, rebuke, eject that thought. You've got an eject button on your tape recorder. You hit it and pop, out goes the cassette tape, and the music stops or the message stops or whatever it is. You've got an eject button right in your spirit. And when the devil puts that thought in your heart to quit, to backslide, to throw in the towel, not to do it, to grow weary, just push the eject button.
Amen.
So that's it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. In the meantime, during the interim, throughout your life, what are we doing while we wait for the due season? What are we doing while we wait for payday? We're looking. We're looking. I jotted a couple scriptures down here. Look at this. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That word look means, and there are two different words used here, and they mean similarly the same thing. To await, expect, to look for, to be in expectation. Wow. That's what it means here in Jude 21. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Listen to Titus chapter 2. Excuse me. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. Okay? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. That's the will of God. Righteously, that's the will of God. And godly, that's the will of God. In this present world, and all the time we're living these holy lives, all the time we're going about doing good, all the time we are manifesting our labor of love, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the way we spend our years waiting, looking for Him. That's the way we spend our years as we live holy lives and do well, attending to the Word of God, praying always in the Holy Ghost, building ourselves up in our most holy faith, witnessing, doing all these things that we're supposed to be doing, fulfilling the will of God, looking for that blessed hope, praise the Lord. Remember Simeon and Anna? She went out and told everybody that was looking for redemption in Israel. Looking for redemption in Israel. I mean, they waited a long time. They waited 4,000 years for redemption. Not 30 seconds, not 12 years, not 18 years, not 38 years, but 4,000 years. They had been waiting for this promised Messiah. Promised in Genesis 3:15. Praise the Lord. She went and told everybody that was looking for redemption in Israel, He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3 is very interesting. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 12. But you have to back up a little. How about verse 10? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It will come. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and I'm still asking this church to present to me any scripture they can find in the Bible that refers to the second coming of Christ where it does not talk about living holy. So far, every scripture I have found about the second coming of Christ always talks about living holy, living godly, living pure, clean lives. That's very interesting. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons? See, he's talking about the second coming, and then he says, now, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy lifestyle, conversation, and godliness. Looking, expecting, awaiting, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Praise the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now there's another word used in Hebrews chapter 11. Another Greek word there. We don't want to go into a Greek study tonight because I might prove myself to be ignorant. But anyway, I have enough sense to know that it's a different word because we have means now and tools whereby we can look these things up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after. Everybody say after.
After.
Receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Well, when you don't know something, when you don't feel something, you better know something.
Right.
That sounds opposite of what we're talking about, but at that time, he just knew that the word of God was true, but he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked. He was expecting. It might be a different word, but this word, look here, means to expect, to await, listen to this, to receive from another. To receive from another. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, and the other was, whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to see my brother healed.
Yeah.
And I'm praying for his healing.
Praise the Lord.
But though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I know that in the latter day, I'll see him.
Yeah.
And I'll see my brother. I'll see my mother. I'll see my dad. And so on and so forth. But my flesh says, I want Doug to be healed right now. Now, who knows, but next week, he'll be in church.
Right.
Lord.
Amen.
If my brother's in church again, and he's worshiping the Lord, and he's healed in his body, is there anybody here that would shout?
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'll ask you a question now. If my brother's healed so perfectly, he comes to church and gives a testimony and runs this aisle, these aisles, is there anybody else here that would run the aisle?
Amen.
Why wouldn't everybody run the aisle?
Amen.
Why wouldn't everybody run the aisle?
Right. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. My flesh says, I want him here this Sunday. I want him here healed. I want him healed now. I don't want to go to the cemetery and visit him. I want to go to his house and visit him.
Amen.
I don't even want to go to the hospital and visit him. I want to go to church and visit him.
Yeah.
And that's the way you want it, and that's the way I want it. But no matter what happens, you know what we're going to do? Look. For that blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is going to bring the saints that have gone on before back with him. That's the teaching of Holy Scripture. Praise the Lord, everybody. Can we stand?